You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, Chris's oh boy is Mickey is much better than Emily's St. Louis accent.
I disagree with that. Well,
authority.
The St. Louis one, okay, that one's fair. But Francis agrees, need an entire Factor Cap segment with Emily's Jersey impression.
You guys do you. Let me know when you're going to do that, and I'm going to get sick that day.
Nope. Can the camera that's coming in,
we're coming to your house.
Verify my St. Louis accent, too, because the camera
that's right. Next time they're in. Guys. Yeah.
Next time they're in. They're probably going to say, wow, I felt like I was at a Cardinals game.
You know, we were talking, I forget how we got onto it. We were talking about the treats at the gas station and the frozen treat.
Yourself.
Perhaps the most unlikely person, if you would have said to me, who's the last person you think is going to weigh in on what ice cream treat they want when they go into the gas station? Hit me up. Think of this station, like who is very, very deliberate and diligent and careful about what they put into their body?
Kate.
Mace?
No.
Carlo?
Sedano.
No. We talked to him very recently. Mario.
Mario.
Mario wears in on the frozen treat.
What do you throw in there?
Why do people sleep on that Snickers ice cream bar?
Mario, getting a Snickers ice cream
exactly
bar, bro.
That's exactly what I said.
Come on, man.
My response to him, it's right there. I said, that is a very good one, although having seen you, I have a hard time imagining you eating one. Me, on the other hand, right?
But you know what Mario
Mario's
could
not
be doing?
Snicker ice
he
cream
could
bars.
Be doing, maybe he got his kid one and then he took a bite of it. Mario's not having a... Mario's in like
it's also not vegan.
One
great
bite
shape.
Of that. How do you have one bite of that thing? That makes no sense to me.
Self-control.
Yes, I guess. There's a scene in The West Wing where Leo, who's an alcoholic, right? He's talking about, well, he can't just have one drink. It's because why wouldn't you want more?
I had one of those.
Feeling?
I had one of those situations yesterday.
That's the ice cream bar, man.
I told you I went to a Mexican spot after Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily, remember our list yesterday for the chips, and yours was
restaurant-style
tortilla chips that you put all in there, but you couldn't fit his Flaming Hot Cheetos on the list
as
well.
Yes, Cheetos aren't chips, but anyway, go on.
Okay. Bro, I don't know what to do when tortilla chips come. I got no control. None. I mean, they come out, and this is just how it usually happens. They always put way too much, and you got the guacamole, and you got the salsa right there. I must have ate, and it's not even like it stops when my food comes, okay?
What'd you get
it just
to eat?
Continues.
What two-item combo did you take down yesterday?
This place was, I'm not going to say the spot, but damn was it overpriced. Like just when I got a shrimp taco and I got, this is just what they had on the menu. It's like more.
A la carte?
You can call it, definitely a la carte. You wanted it. Water was like, hey, this is another $3 right there. So I got. They had ribeye tacos, and then they also had the shrimp tacos. Just work with me on this one. But every freaking bite I took, I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do another tortilla chip.
Sure.
15 minutes before my food came out, just shoving tortilla chips in my mouth.
That's chip.
It's every day.
No.
You
said self-control about the Snicker bar?
I got none on any of those things.
So one person was a bad guy on TikTok, and it was saying that this one, she says, every time you eat a chip, just think about how only four chips make one tortilla. I'm like, that's a bad idea move. So you're eating essentially many tortillas.
I had 63 tortillas yesterday.
Fried tortillas. Not just tortillas, fried tortillas.
So it's not a chip.
That's right.
It is a chip.
That's right. It's not a chip.
He might be the greatest instigator on our show. Like because he doesn't throw in a ton. When he does, it's impactful.
Well, Emily's going after my Cheetos.
He's the guy that knows exactly where the bruise is and pushes right on it.
He's
I like
timing.
That a lot.
Thank you, Trav.
I love it. Dave McMenamin.
Yep.
D'Angelo Russell is questionable tonight against Oklahoma City with right hip soreness per the Lakers. So this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. we can talk about rotations and starters and this guy and that guy, but it just seems like they can't get their full complement of guys for any sustainable amount of time. Hopefully questionable turns into he's ready to go.
Yeah.
You're probably better at interpreting what questionable means. Does that mean he's 50-50?
Questionable, especially when this kind of came out of nowhere. I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Because there was no word after the game against the Suns, hey, he's dealing with this. He wasn't on the status report going into the Suns game dealing with this hip soreness. So I don't like the way that sounds. There's probable, which they're probably going to play. There's questionable, which is doubtful, is, you know, there's a highly
that
chance.
Means no.
But questionable, I don't like the setup of that one. I don't, because it has more to do with the fact that there was no conversation about this a day ago or 2 days ago. This is kind of popping up out of nowhere. You know, I'll tell you, Trav, you have been, I think it's kind of gets lost, D'Angelo's, what his impact is on this team. And it gets lost because we look at Anthony Davis and say, okay, you had 35-13, awesome. Or you had 17-9, where the hell were you? And that takes a lot of our attention. And then there's the Austin Reeves portion.
Sure.
These last couple of days where he wasn't in the starting lineup and he had 35-6-6. And then he comes in the starting lineup, gets 25-11, career high in assists, whatever it was, getting to the free throw line, crowd chanting MVP, that D'Lo kind of has got lost in the shuffle. But I will tell you how key D'Angelo Russell is. When he has a bad game and he doesn't really have that much of an impact, there's a very good chance Lakers are going to lose that game. That because LeBron's not there, he's very important to have 20 points, 7 assists, 8 assists, something along those lines. So, and when he has a good game, like he had in the last one, he had 26, and the Lakers, they didn't cruise to a win over the Suns, but they beat the Suns, beat them in double digits, and kind of they spread out over the end. Not having D'Lo tonight in a game where you're playing the Thunder, and you and I kind of talked about the value of some of these teams. When you play the Thunder and you're going for the tiebreaker, that's a two-gamer right there. Mm-hmm. They got a game next week against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a bigger game than the game against the Bulls. If they don't have D'Lo tonight, yeah, you could have some guys. Dennis Schroeder could come in. They could fill in. But that's not a small one. In a critical game where you kind of need everyone, this one's coming out of nowhere.
I want to be a little careful about how I phrase this because I don't want to – I understand everybody's health is their health, and you want to be careful about, you know, making things worse and whatnot. And I don't even want to talk about D'Angelo specifically or Anthony Davis in a back-to-back specifically. None of those things. I'm talking – this is a very general conversation, okay? When we're down to the very nitty-gritty of the season, which the Lakers are right now, and the nitty-gritty of a baseball season or the last couple of games of a football season where you're maybe in or out of a playoff spot by a game or so, and every game takes on these added importance, it seems like the football guys are willing to say, look, I'm going to go for it, man. I got to go for it. It seems like you got a guy that's got a hamstring or a knee or something that's bothering them. Just like, look, I'm not at my best, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to see what I can give the team. Whether it's, you know, I'm going to play left field and try to get a couple of hits and see what happens. And maybe I'm running around and, you know, think kind of like the Kirk Gibson mentality where he's clearly not quite right, but I'm going to do what I want. That doesn't seem to be the thing, or at least we don't hear. Maybe it's just that we don't hear about it as much in the NBA as we hear other places, but it just seems like, yeah, I got my hip or my knee or my shoulder or my elbow, or whatever it might be. There are only a handful of games left. You've said that this OKC game tonight is a big deal for all the obvious reasons.
Not
that,
making it up.
You know, right. Just one of those, you know what? I don't feel great, but I got to make a run at this tonight. And again, I'm not talking about D'Angelo specifically tonight. I'm talking globally. Just this, I mean, Let's see what happens. Maybe you start and it's bad and you make it worse and you're gone for the final 8 games and that's what they're trying to – I don't know. It just seems that at some point, don't you just kind of have to go for it? They do it in the other leagues.
I don't know. This could just simply be an NBA thing because there's also a lot of chatter around the NBA that comes with load management.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chatter around the NBA of guys missing more time. I mean, how many times I hear Michael say it yeah, Kobe up. Or, you know, do you think Kobe would have played in this game or not played in this game?
Honestly, that's the perfect example. I'm glad you brought him up. Kobe Bryant is the perfect example. Where, remember, was his hand or is his knee or like all of these things where it's like, of course I don't feel good, but nobody cares. I need to go out there and do it. he was the ultimate example of the guy that was, we knew he wasn't 100% physical, yeah. and you knew that you were getting less than the absolute best, but damn if he wasn't out there every night.
So my problem with these conversations, you're right, I can't tell.
I get it.
You know what I mean? A pain
threshold. But doesn't it seem like it happens less?
Well, let me give you one as an example. Earlier this year, I forgot what road game it is, and you might remember this once I start talking about it. Do you remember, there's a game, Dennis Schroeder, Lakers were on the road. Uh-huh. He turns his ankle, and the ball of his ankle, you could see, hit the floor, okay? And he's out kind of, you know, rolling around on the ground. Darvin Ham calls timeout. We go to commercial break. Both Michael and John are saying, yeah, I'd be surprised if we see Dennis Schroeder the rest of the game. Calls timeout. Next mm-hmm. thing you know, Dennis Schroeder's back in yeah. the game, and he's out there going. Maybe it's just not talked about enough when it does happen. I don't have an answer for you. I just, those are always difficult for me to kind of weigh. You're not wrong on the importance of the game, but yeah. I also don't know what D'Lo's feeling.
When you're outside, and again, I'm not talking about him specifically, but at some point, trying to protect whatever may come becomes less important. That I'll use another bad analogy. You'll hear baseball managers like do the thing where, well, I couldn't use him tonight because we had a game six coming up. Yeah, but if you lose tonight, the series is over.
Yeah.
Like, what? It doesn't matter. Why are you saving for something that may never happen? Mm-hmm. You have to get to the thing. And look, maybe you burn the guy and you don't have any good, but we can figure that out when we have to figure that out.
Got to game seven.
Right? We got yeah. to game seven, and now anything can happen. At some point, there is a, I can't worry about what might happen a week from now, 2 weeks mm-hmm. from now. I got to take care of business tonight. And this game against OKC, for all the reasons that we talked about, it's a big deal.
Of course it is.
It's a big deal. And, you know, hopefully he plays. Hopefully questionable turns into, yeah, you know what? He
game time decision.
Up,
there
he's
ready
he is. To go. Yeah. And we're or like we're talking about, maybe it's just, you know what? He can get through it. He's going to, you know, he's not perfect, but we'll get through it. I would like to have some of that at some point from these guys because I want him in. Mm-hmm. I want him in, and at some point, just saying, well, we got to be careful here. You got, what, nine? Is it nine?
Nine games to go.
That's not very many.
Another one coming up on Sunday. So you're basically, and by the way, after the game on Sunday, five straight on the road.
Yeah.
Five straight
on
the
Clippers,
road.
Right? The last, is it the last one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Last one. So they have four straight on the road. One is a hybrid.
Four and a half on
homers.
The road.
Right, right. That is still, it's still mostly Laker fans. It's still
terrific. Yeah, no, it's at least it's at least
the court's black.
I really like that. That's the thing that makes me very happy. That when the Lakers play on the road at mm-hmm. Crypto, it's still mostly Laker
fans. Only thing
fans
that changes, only thing that changes for us too is they move our broadcast from the left side to the right side. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's a Clipper game. Clipper home game.
Yeah, if you just took all of the colors out of it, right, and yeah. it's just like you had like generic things. You would think, just based on noise and everything else, yeah, no, here we go again, only I'm sitting three seats to my left instead of to the right.
Cover the banners.
That's pretty terrific,
That's the
too.
Cover the banners.
I believe in omens.
Okay.
And the Dodgers have announced their starting rotation on the very same day that I saw it. This is good news for the Dodgers. We got some good news, Slee. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Big CY in the house joining us right now. What's up, Clinton?
Nothing much, man. Just
did you do TV today or something?
Did television today, winding down the week.
That one. There we go.
They're both on.
They're both on.
Talking to both of them at the same time and get our press conference.
No, that's awkward. And we're not on YouTube, so we're not going to do that. That would be for the visual gag.
I like Gates is like, no, one mic's not enough.
Getting ready.
Two of them.
Getting ready for our, you know, little Dodgers show that we're doing starting next week. Okay. Bergman and I, Blue Review. So figured that would be a good time to pop in and talk about the Dodgers.
There's
review.
Nothing I like talking before about more.
Before I get into that, will you play more pickleball?
Perhaps.
Berg and I are going to probably try to play some
okay,
point
so
next
here's
week.
What I would do. If we started a little 7-10 team in a separate league where we could sort of pick up like, hey, let's get three guys or four guys that can make it. Like if we played amongst ourselves at leagues, God knows where.
League sounds like
leagues
a
are
very
a little daunting.
Strong word.
And it's a commitment.
It is. It is.
Yeah, joining a commitment. League is a commitment.
But that's why I meant sort of like our own league. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we play pickup with one another and we call each other when we want to play. That I would do for sure.
Yeah. Berg and I are more thinking like, we're going to go run courts out in Pasadena. Just
I already assumed you bought six more paddles, you know, one for each day of the week. Because
do they go bad?
Does
a bat will lose its pop over time,
that's
right?
True. That's
so
true.
So does a pickleball paddle lose its pop?
I
you have to replace
know.
It?
I think so.
I also don't know about showing up to like a non-agape court with a paddle with my name on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily know that I want to do that in front of the public.
Well, it's the equivalent of showing up to the bowling alley with your own ball.
Pretty much.
It's the equivalent.
That means
of,
you're a real bowler.
Well, but there are, for instance, you guys know that I'm a golfer.
Yes.
Sometimes you'll run into somebody that's got like a tour bag, like with your name embroidered on it.
But they suck.
It's one or two. It's either, they're pretty good, or it's like that you
they got cash to burn
a
on
VP
clubs.
Of a Fortune 500
things,
company.
Things I saw at Topgolf this week, because it was my birthday, and I was there at 10 a.m. slamming beers and whacking balls into the TV, and some guy pulls up to me with the nicest bag I'd ever seen in my life.
Jeez.
Couldn't hit for crap.
But that happened. The one is that if this is the piece of equipment, if somebody brings it to the location, that if they have it, stay away.
But there's
pool cue.
Yeah. Breakout Lucille.
Yeah, the guy
Shouts
that's
the
got his own pool cue.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with that.
Right,
there's a lot of similarities in that in all sports. Okay, so pick up basketball. If the guy's coming in with the cleanest, nicest shoes, and he's got everything, like from top to bottom, it's brand new, it's this, that, I'm like, this guy doesn't play basketball
probably a
very
bump.
Often.
Yeah, probably not a very good player.
And if the guy shows up and his shoes are half ripped and his shorts, he doesn't even care, I'm like, that's
there's
not
historical
good.
Precedent for this. If that's he's wearing a backwards white dirty cap and a tie-dye t-shirt, you have run into Billy Hoyle in the multiverse. Do not play against him. That's not what you want.
Yeah, since we're talking a little bit, that always bothered me in that movie. It was so clearly a setup that they should have been on to that, right? Like, I get it. Like, if he were dressed like me,
right?
It's okay. He probably is not very good. But a guy that's intentionally dressed like George Jetson is clearly setting you up. Like, you gotta know that.
It's true. But
the guy that misses every shot in pool and says, you know, why don't we play for a little money? You're getting hustled.
Don't trust that guy.
Don't go for that.
Don't trust that guy at all.
So, I am a believer in signs, karma, like indicators.
The force, if you will.
The force. And certainly when it comes to baseball, I think most baseball people are inherently superstitious.
Correct.
It just comes with the territory. The Dodger media guide for 2023 is out. And Fernando, in the classic Fernando pose, hands over his head, eyes to the sky, home Dodger uniform, red 34. Like just, it is the perfect Fernando picture. Is on the cover of the media guide this year. On the year, they're going to retire his number, finally, officially, something that has been long overdue. I like this. If I'm looking for positives, because they've had some bad ones leading up to this, so, I've been looking for a silver lining on a relatively, not a black cloud, but a gray, shall we call it gray cloud. Fernando on the cover of the media guide makes me feel good.
There's two ways to take this. Number one is that the franchise finally righting wrongs in more ways than one that they should have. Although his number was de facto retired because nobody wore it, it did not make sense that he was not have his number
retired.
It wasn't
official.
I don't care what the franchise policy is about guys in the Hall of Fame or whatever it may be. That's a bad policy, and I'm glad that they moved around that. Number two, though.
I'm glad they moved around it for him.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I like
while
the
he's
policy,
still with us.
But, like, for instance, Steve Garvey was my favorite Dodger as a kid. Mm-hmm. Steve Garvey, you go to Baseball Reference, there's a lot of bold numbers on Steve Garvey's page. He's really, really good. He's not a Hall of Famer, okay? He's not in, and I don't think he will ever end up getting in. He's close, but he's not in. I think that that is a threshold that is honorable
to maintain. The Garvey threshold?
To just say, look, you're one of our great players, but you're not one of these guys. Fernando occupies such a unique space, not only as a great Dodger player.
Bigger than the Dodgers. I'll give it,
far bigger than the Dodgers.
Bigger than the Dodgers.
But
isn't
it safe to say that with Fernando, every time there was a conversation about him, it's like, why hasn't this happened?
Yeah.
And isn't that enough to, rather than, you know,
if
sometimes.
If Fernando were Canadian, he's not in.
Sure, but there's so, exactly right. And there's been ownership group changes. I can understand why this took a little while to get to where it is, but hold on, quickly, Slee. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say as well, though. The front cover of the media guide for a season, typically a harbinger of where you think the season is going to go and who you think, I don't know, the face of your franchise is. So if you go away from a current rostered player on the front of the media guide, that provides a question as to, well, who do we think is the leader of this team right
now,
Travis?
They have 15 guys they could put. No,
I
they
understand
got,
that,
they
but
got
who
three
do we
guys
think it would be?
The leader of the team? Is that the question?
So, well, you know, we're,
the face?
I don't want, yeah, we'll
it's,
say the face.
It's Kershaw.
It's Kershaw's the leader. Kershaw's the leader. Okay. It doesn't mean he's the face.
It's Kershaw. Now, we could argue whether he's their most important or best. He's probably neither of those two things at this
right.
point in his career.
Which is what today's conversation is about.
But Kershaw is, you can make a pretty compelling argument that he's the greatest pitcher in the history of that organization. And they've had some very, very good ones.
That's fair. But in 2023, how much are the Los Angeles Dodgers leaning on Clayton Kershaw to be a part of a championship run?
Yeah.
Is a fair question.
It is. So if we're talking about like the guys that are going to carry the water every day, it's Mookie and Freddie.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys that are going to carry the water every day. And Julio.
Yeah,
he's
I agree, and
guy.
I'm not saying that they're at a loss for talent. I just thought it was a convenient kind of moment. It's like, okay, we'll go with Fernando.
No,
on
I think it's the timing of
it works well.
What they did for Fernando.
Yeah,
I think so too. So here's their rotation. They announced their rotation, and this kind of matters because obviously these five guys are not going to take their turn every fifth day for 6 months. That's not how this works. But Julio gets the nod on opening day. Well deserved.
Love that.
I do too. Dustin May second. Okay, coming back from injury. I think he only made 6 starts last year, I think is the number. Kersh is in that 3 spot. And then you got Syndergaard, and then you got we'll figure it out from there. It's a Pepio, it's a Grove. Well, you know, maybe Bobby Miller steps into that spot.
I don't like
Tony Gonsolin comes back.
I was going to say the Gonsolin question is in play. To me, this season, from a staff starting standpoint, it's Dustin May or else none of this works. I think for him, particularly because of, listen, number one, his skill set. He's got plus stuff just on velocity, velo alone. And when he went down, I mean, that was a major loss for this team in terms of arms. And so for me, if you expected to have him in these 2, 3, 4 seasons in terms of like what you were going to be from a staff standpoint, if he can't get back to where you needed him, well, then you've got other issues. Then you're getting into guys that I believe, sure, best scouting department in the league in terms of pitching in my eyes, yes. Maybe the Astros are a little closer, but
development too.
May has to work out, or else you're kind of behind schedule with what you were supposed to be doing.
I
think from a championship standpoint.
I like that. I think that's an important distinction because he's incredibly important. I don't want to say that he's not. He is. But what the Dodgers have created, I think, is the envy of the rest of baseball. Where let's just say he's good, not great. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that he's okay, right? Pepio, Grove, Miller, Syndergaard. Who knows what else that they can find or go get? That they have options beyond.
They do.
Tony Gonsolin's coming back at one point. You know, it's an ankle. It'll heal. He'll be okay. That if he gets hurt again or if he's bad, that creates some problems along the way. Pepio, Grove, Miller, one of those guys can be pretty good.
One of those guys is going to step up. I just feel like because of the way things are shaking out from an arm standpoint, specifically in the National League, if you don't have two guys that you don't think can get you wins, you're, again, in a position where you're not chasing it, but you're certainly not leading from the front foot.
But that's the difference. Guys, just say this, T-Raj, difference between what we're accustomed to the Dodgers and what they're walking to into this
for
year.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is we're accustomed to, they're good. They have this player. They have that player. They have this player. Now the conversation this year is
somebody's got to step up.
You need somebody that's got to. The likelihood of somebody stepping up, I think, is likely.
Yes.
But the difference for the Dodgers before, some of these players used to be a luxury, not a necessity.
Well,
now
exactly.
They're going to become
and that's
a necessity.
That's a different method of putting together a team.
It is, but it also is the thing that I hope Dodger fans didn't ever think that this was the normal, where you go, Clayton Kershaw, MVP Cy Young Award winner.
Do you talk to your
listeners? Trevor Bauer,
yep.
Cy Young Award winner.
Walker Buehler,
maybe the best pitcher in the
Max
National
Scherzer.
League. Julio Urias, maybe the best pitcher in the National League. Max Scherzer, multiple times. That's not how this works. What they have now is not just Major League typical. It's better than Major
it
League
is.
Typical. It's above the line. It's not Hall of Fame stuff the way that they had for it. This is how most teams go into a season, where I got my two, I'm pretty sure I got a three, and we'll figure out four and five on the fly. And this is what most teams do.
That's exactly what most teams do. And this is also where you hope the front office becomes all of that hands-on stuff that you talked about. Let's hope they can press some buttons if this doesn't work out the way that you want it with May or whomever it may be at the back end of the rotation. Let's hope that they can figure out what they're going to do with this, because the earlier you stabilize your pitching staff, the better chance your team has to go and win a division.
Sleep,
personal
you,
opinion.
Do you, as a Padre fan, are obviously you're excited about what you're going to see and all the guys they went out to get, but are you like, no, this is going to work? Or is there a little bit of, dude, I'm thrilled they did what they did, but man, sometimes building that super team just doesn't come together the way that you hope.
I think there's a little bit more of, I think it's going to work. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean you're not guaranteed to go win a World Series, any of that stuff, but they got so many good players, and they actually won something in the playoffs. Beating the Mets in the three-game set in New York was not easy. Beating the Dodgers in four games gives you hopefully that kind of that hey, we can do it because we have done it before. So I think there's much more optimism than there is this.
And I would go so far as to say it wasn't just beating the Dodgers. It wasn't just beating the Dodgers in four games. It was how those games were played. It did not appear that the Dodgers were in that series.
No.
For the greater part of the innings that were pitched. Just saying.
Okay, wait.
Just
last
saying.
One.
Yeah, no, just shut up, Gates.
You
sound like the listener.
you two were talking about the WBC before it even started. We didn't get a chance to talk to you since then. Just a quick little, could you have scripted anything better than what you saw?
No, A-plus finish. And for those of you who are saying, oh, well, if Trout had hit a three-run bomb or whatever, okay, sure, but that didn't happen. He struck out his own dude after his own dude looked at him like, I can't believe that I'm actually dealing with this. And he said, I can. I've been waiting for this for a while. Slided him out of there. It was fantastic.
Either of those finishes are perfect.
Yeah.
They're both perfect.
Either one.
They're both perfect.
And also, let us talk
about. I was okay with the Ohtani finish. I had no problem with that.
Everyone was.
Yeah. The base running. Again, from the Japanese team.
Oh,
just
forget it.
What are we talking about here? You watch those tapes with your high school team. That's how you read a ball off the bat.
One more quick one. Just yes or no. Should they have had Mookie bunt McNeil to second?
Yes.
We're back with more office trivia coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, I know we've been waiting on bated breath for more office trivia, so I'm going to give it to you.
Anniversary today.
Yes, anniversary of when The Office, the American version, came out in this day in 2005. I'm not going to...
Emily, did you watch the British version?
I did. I have.
Did you like it?
Oh, it's different.
What did you think of season 2, episode 7?
Only like 25 episodes?
It's short. It's a BBC show, which they do very short seasons, and they don't... let it go as long, but I think it's just a different type of humor. It's drier, it's more bleak. The first season of The Office, they tried to mimic that version of it, and they had it be very bleak. And then they realized with Steve Carell, they can't do that. Steve Carell's not a bleak guy. He's a very bubbly and a very kind guy. You want to root for him.
You can't root against him.
Exactly. Yeah. So they changed Michael Scott's character a little bit to make him... At the end of every
episode,
you know who almost got that role? I know you know, but do you know who almost got that role? And they kind of revisited it towards the end of the series? Bob Odenkirk. Bob Odenkirk was one of the finalists for that role along the way. And then when Pam went to work in that office, he basically did his version of it. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn good.
It would have been great, but also then we wouldn't have gotten Saul Goodman. We wouldn't have gotten Better Call Saul because it would have conflicted with timing. So obviously two roads diverged, but I think we landed on the best ones possible. So are you guys ready for some trivia?
Travis.
All right. So there are two fires in The Office, in the course of The Office. Who started the first fire?
Sliwa.
All right.
Was it Dwight?
That's the second fire.
Yeah, Ryan. Travis Ryan.
Yes, it was Ryan.
I didn't know the order, Slee. I was just going to guess. I knew that Dwight and Ryan started.
What was the first fire?
So the first fire.
The cheesy toast.
Oh, yeah.
Cheesy pita.
It was a pita bread. Yeah. And they call him Fire Guy. It was in season one or two, but they play like the Desert Island game outside of the office, and like that's when like Pam is flirting with Jim, but they couldn't really flirt yet anyway. So that's
How good was Dwight's fire?
It was pretty great. It was one of the best ones.
It was one of the best episodes.
When he flicks the cigarette into the trash can is terrific.
All right, so who is, what's the name of Angela's favorite cat that Dwight kills?
Travis.
Yes.
Sprinkles.
Yes.
Ooh, good.
Sprinkles.
Good pull there.
Who, okay, this is the addendum. It wasn't on my list. Who does she want them to save in the second fire?
I don't know.
It's the one she throws up to the roof with Oscar, but I don't know the name of the
cat. Save Bandit.
And Bandit.
Then she throws it up in the air.
That's a perfect name.
Which is great. All right, so what is the name of Michael's film?
Travis.
I don't know.
It's midnight. There's a word in it. It's
Taylor, do you have it?
Not Operation Midnight. What the heck is it?
I don't know.
Oh man. Is there a number in it? Like 20 something?
No, midnight? It is Threat Level Midnight. No one got it. It's actually the name of the episode.
Enough.
They had it in the last season with Steve Carell. So we talked about Scott's Tots earlier. But what did Michael give the Scots Tots?
Travis.
I'm going to finish the answer, but I'll go to you first. That wasn't a scholarship. Travis.
Batteries.
Yes. He had them lithium
You're
batteries.
Not that far away from knowing this show the way.
I remember stupid stuff. Mm. I have a memory for stupid stuff. I only need to see it a couple of times, and I will remember. I can picture it in my head.
Okay. These next three are pretty easy, Alan, so I'm going to let Alan, get the first crack at these.
Three more. There's a lot of office trivia here. Okay.
Where does Jim propose to Pam? Oh. I'm not asking for a specific location. I'm asking for what is the location.
What type of place?
Taylor.
Yeah. Okay, Taylor.
It's like a gas station.
It is a gas station. It is also
Why
the most expensive.
I was going to be so off.
What were you going to say?
The beach?
No.
What was the episode in the...
Their wedding, they went to Niagara Falls.
Oh, that's what it was, the beach games.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's season three. It's the most expensive scene in all The Office is the proposal scene because they had the fake rain and they had cars go around this like fake set. Anyway, that's why it's the most expensive scene. All right. What is Stanley's favorite...
Am I allowed to answer?
Yes, you
What's Stanley's favorite day?
Oh, Travis. Okay. Pretzel day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day should be pretzel day.
Right. He's actually it's the only episode where he's in a good mood.
All right, last one I have for you.
Travis.
What?
Last one, Slee.
This guy's on him.
What school did Andy attend? I'm not having Travis answer first.
Taylor.
All right, Taylor.
Cornell.
Oh, yeah.
It is Cornell. And the Cornell, the acapella group he participated in is called Here Comes Treble.
Here Comes Treble.
And then who is actually the acapella group is from what school?
Oh, the actual...
The actors who played in Here Comes Treble in the episode at the end of the series is from the University of Virginia, the Hullabahoos. Anyway, this is my office trivia for you.
All comes full circle.
Always ends with Virginia.
It always comes back to Emily.
I really wish I could remember a name of a Virginia player. I just wanted to blurt out his name right there. I just don't... Ralph Sampson.
Say anybody.
Ralph Sampson. I'll go with him. That goes back a little bit. All right, Slee. Opening day, Major League Baseball next week. We're getting very, very close. The Athletic has some predictions for who's going to do what. Which of these seems more likely to you? Because I think that there are two possibilities, and I hate one of them. Mm-hmm. It won't be hard to figure out which one I hate. Mike Trout sets a career high in homers and leads the league.
Okay.
Corey Seager wins the American League MVP. Keep in mind, Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and those guys play in the American League. Or that the Padres have the best rotation in baseball.
So you're saying most likely of
most
those?
Most likely.
Most likely of those, I'd go Trout. I take my chances with Trout. As much as I want to say the Padre one,
I
think that's
not.
Well, by the way, if they have the best rotation,
it's a wrap.
On top of everything else that they got,
it's a wrap as far as them winning the division and getting a high seed. It's not a wrap to win the World Series.
No, because we know
we've seen that. But here's why I think it's Seager. Even though Ohtani and Judge and a whole bunch of Jose Ramirez, there's a bunch of really good players in that half of the draw. Mike Trout doesn't play enough games to lead the league in home runs anymore. Like, mm-hmm. he's been in the 110s, the 120s, or lower the last – the first 5-6 years of career, Mike Trout was 150-plus. The only time he took time off is with, you know, we're going to give you a day. He was like Freddie Freeman. He was playing every single night. And now he's, you know, he's in his 30s. He's heavier than he used to be. Not that he's out of shape. He's just a bigger, older guy. And he misses time now. And you could just see that this is going to be his path in the second half of his career, where instead of playing 150 games a year, he plays
115 last season.
Right, 120, yeah. 125, 130. Because you play 130 games. This is what's so crazy about baseball. You play in 130 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means you missed an entire month of the season.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And 130 games seems like, hey, I'm there.
You missed a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to be down, and 130 kind of feels like the number for him.
I always look at, and these are, you know, just kind of random predictions that could be there. I always look at, and maybe you just kind of, you're waiting for, there's been so much conversation about Ohtani this year. There's been so much conversation about what's going to happen to him, where is he going to go, can the Angels be competitive? Trout's name kind of has been, I'm not telling you it's lost, WBC, his name was coming up a lot. I know it was coming up a lot because it was Trout versus Ohtani, sure, in that final at-bat. But you're almost, kind of like you said, you're starting to talk about a lot more guys than just Trout. I wonder if he has one of those, all right, don't forget who I am, let me come into this season, see what he could do.
And this is about the age that happens. Because through his 20s, they're really what they tried to make it a thing with Bryce Harper for half a second. And it's like, no, it's not. And Bryce Harper's awesome, don't get me wrong. But it's like, stop. It's not even close. Mm. And then there was a moment where it's like, hey, is it Mookie? And it's like, it's closer than it was with Harper, but no, it's clearly Mike Trout. Now there is you could make an argument for Mookie or Soto or they're Ohtani, yeah, obviously. Yeah. There are guys that are in the mix there, and that's usually where the guy that's kind of finally starting to come down or other guys are coming up said, no, hold on a second. I got one more of these. That a 40 home run, 110 RBI, you know, where he slugs over 1,000 or OPS over 1,000, on-base percentage over 400, it's not totally out of the question.
Well, I mean, if Trout can throw 102 and then follow it up with an 88-mile-per-hour slider.
They missed the boat. Should they have traded him last year? It really does feel like they kind of – their opportunity to get the absolute most for him felt like last year at the deadline. Just think Soto, right? Because it would open up the pool of potential bidders. Right now, the bidders for Ohtani are going to be people that – basically have to get a guarantee that he's going to sign an extension because the cost is going to be real. If I'm the Dodgers, I can't give you three prospects and two major league players for 3 months.
Can I give you an example? What if, just hypothetically, you are in contention, not the Angels. I'm talking about another team out there that might look at Ohtani and say, you know what, screw it. We're going to take our Seattle. Let me throw out a team like Seattle or something like that where you're in the mix, you have a really good team, you have a chance of winning it all. Would you risk it's worth it to try to get Ohtani for this stretch and then maybe – but there's no guarantee that you're going to convince this guy to stay. Do you think there's a franchise that would do that?
It's a great question, and I love that you picked the Mariners. I think they're the perfect example. I think they're the perfect – but what it would be like is – you're just about done paying off your house.
Yeah.
And you go take this crazy second mortgage to go rent a car to go on vacation. It's like, it's an awesome car. You're going to have a great vacation. But it's going to end, and they're going to take the car back, and now you got to buy your house all over again. That's an incredibly expensive
thing. It's the thinking you could convince Shohei, give us one run, we think we might. But it's the risk of it's Shohei saying, I cannot promise you anything.
I don't know if they can
cannot
afford
promise
him.
You anything.
I don't know if they could afford to give him $600 million.
To go back to what you said of should they have traded him, because they did not make the playoffs, because they have not been competing, because there was nothing really to cash in past.
And now he's gone.
And so because of those reasons. Now, if you'd have told me they made the playoffs and they lost, but it was a fun run and all that stuff, then you can make more of an argument.
I like the car rental. Hey, here's $10 million to rent a car to go on vacation. Got to refinance the house, though. let's roll.
I'm in.
The dump coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. So I'm not necessarily a musical guy. Like, Ireland is the 710 musical enthusiast, right? So when he comes in here, we'll certainly ask him about this because I know this is his lane. But I also have the Mean Girls lane, Slee. You know that I'm a huge fan of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a musical. They're going to turn Mean Girls into a musical, and it's going to star John Hamm and Jenna Fischer. Okay, so John Hamm is about as big of a star as you get. Yeah. Jenna Fischer is iconic in her role as Pam Beasley, obviously. I think I could muscle through a musical to see that. I'm not going to lie.
That's
it's also written by Tina Fey, so it's still going to be that same
thing.
Oh, it is. So it's written by Tina Fey. Jenna Fischer is going to play Katie Heron's mom, and John Hamm.
That was Amy Poehler, right?
No, that's Regina George's mom. So Amy Poehler.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was played by the woman who's also from SNL. It's Katie Heron's mom.
Yeah.
But John Hamm's going to also play the coach.
Anna Gasteyer, I believe, is her
name. Yes, Anna Gasteyer. Yeah. And then John Hamm's going to play the coach that was like teaching the sex ed.
That's
class.
A really small role in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like he only has two or three scenes.
And I'm not aware of what the musical is like. I haven't seen it. I do know it was on Broadway and it was relatively successful. So, but the girls, the younger girls cast is all great. And there's a rumor. The originals might be back.
Is it cameo?
Yeah, you just have to work out the right pay compensation, all that good stuff.
No. Look, Amanda Seyfried, sure. Rachel McAdams, okay.
Yeah.
I forget the other girl that was part of the Plastics. What was her name, her real name? Lacey Chabert.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Lacey Chabert. Lindsay Lohan cannot be in this because it would completely take you out of the thing that you're trying to recapture. She does not look like she looked in that other movie. It's not gone well for her.
Will you travel to go find out where it's playing and you're ready to go?
It's on streaming on Paramount
Plus.
That's
it, and we don't even need to go anywhere.
I
could see John in New York City going in there and going to see it.
What was the streaming service that I gave you bad information that you purchased because I said something that wasn't true? AMC.
It was AMC.
I told you there was a new episode of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
You're like, I guess it's on here.
I'm still paying monthly, and I forgot to
see if you have a.
They
Paramount
don't tell
Plus.
You, by the way.
No.
If you have the subscription, there's 10, everything.
10, 20, 20, 20.
Keep it down.
They're
guys.
Taking it all. National Cocktail Day today. I know you like bourbon neat, Slee. That's kind of the drink that you mentioned. But if you had to get a cocktail, what's your first choice?
Man, that's so funny. I literally do not do cocktails
ever.
No, not ever. Just I think we've talked about this.
Like an old fashioned. You like bourbon.
What's the
whiskey sour? That's
no.
Got
what's the one I'm
it?
Talking about? The Kentucky Mule, right? That's
yeah,
what it is,
that's
right?
A cocktail.
I will do that over and most of the other ones because that one's bourbon.
Emily,
Whiskey sour, and I also love to go one. To get whiskey sours at different places because every place makes it a little different.
Do you like it with the egg?
I don't mind it. I prefer it not with an egg.
Yeah,
but I do prefer it with cherries instead of like an orange, which sometimes they come with that.
Do you like the? You're not a whiskey sour fan because that has bourbon too.
No, I'm not a big fan of that.
The egg is a weird deal because it's like a silky consistency kind of to it, but knowing that there's a raw egg in it kind of wigs me out.
Yeah. I'm not as
I tell
weird
him to
about
scramble
that.
It.
I just don't want the. I just don't want the
break the yolk over the top like it's an Eggs Benedict.
Can I get it over easy.
Run
what?
Into the glass.
What are you talking?
That's so gross. That sounds absolutely terrible. Martini is the answer.
Yeah, that's yours. That's your go-to.
Just
but tonight, come
just
on. Got
dry,
nothing tomorrow.
Dry. You know, I have not had anything in a couple weeks because I told you I got that bug and nothing was really sounding.
Thought
that
would make you have like three or four of them.
I think I'm back.
Back. Tonight?
I think tonight is the night that horse is about to get ridden all over again. Just saying that he's been in the barn for a while and it's time for him to put him through a few paces
Release.
Along the way. Snoop. He wants to perform at the coronation of King Charles. Who says no? I don't know who we have to call. Like probably
maybe King Charles.
Maybe it's easy. There's he has to staff
think he can
that
say
out,
no.
right?
Can
King
Charles
at the coronation? That'd be amazing.
How do you tell Snoop no in anything?
That's the thing, right, Al?
Yeah.
That is there anybody that is more universally well liked than Snoop?
Yep.
Like whether it transcends gender, it
By
transcends
the way, for
race,
decades now.
Age.
For decades like, now.
Everybody kind of is Team Snoop. Why not?
What's his latest? What is he doing? Is it the Corona commercials?
He's got, with Andy Samberg.
And Skechers.
Yeah.
He does Skechers. Like Skechers is not when you think Snoop.
I didn't know he does Skechers.
Oh yeah, he's got a Skechers spot.
He's
got
wine.
Oh, you know what? No,
wine.
You know what I also saw too at one of these Laker games, is it Beyond Meat? It might be one of those brands he's representing as well.
Ooh, more Lindsay Lohan news. The Malibu house from the canyons is now available to buy. That is not a good movie. It's a nice house, but I don't know. If the Mean Girls stage from the Christmas production is available, I'm interested in that, but the Canyons house.
Does that mean something to you? Just like those Hollywood tours that they do. And I've never been on one, but if you told me tomorrow, if somebody came in out of town, LA, and it's like, hey, I really want to go on one of those Hollywood tours where they're going to take you and that's this person's house or that person once lived here. Does that do anything for you or no?
Not that. What is more interesting to me, not like, Robert Redford lived in this house. Okay. I don't care about that. But if you told me this is the house that they used as the facade for the Brady Bunch or the Fresh Prince, like the house from the – not the famous person lived there, but this is the house from the show or the movie.
From like Nightmare on Elm Street. I know that's on South Pass. Yeah. Yes. There's also The Father of the Bride, also in South Pass.
Step Brothers, I think that house that they use is South Pasadena as well.
There's like four of them that they use that they dress also, a little differently. But yeah, that part is interesting. Yeah, but this I'm is where Will Ferrell lives. I don't care about that. I care about the Step Brothers
house.
One
more The Office reference. So my, you know the David Wallace's house, the big white house in The Office? So that's my friend's house. My friend from UVA, she played water polo with me. That's her house in Pasadena.
No kidding.
Yeah, wow. So she like dropped it on me, and I was like, please tell me more. And then she was like, I don't know, it's kind of cool. I'm like, I need all these
What's
details.
Her address?
People go knock on her door along the way. We mentioned this earlier. This is the day in 1972 that The Godfather came out. Slee, Godfather or Lethal Weapon 2 for you?
Well, I mean, I have them both playing at the same time. I got one on the TV, one on the iPad.
Is it your favorite mafia movie?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my favorite. It's for me, it's better than Casino. It's better than
Goodfellas.
It's better than Goodfellas. I love Goodfellas, but Godfather to me is my favorite mob movie. And we've talked about. It's a Fugazi.
I think Goodfellas is more.
Donnie Brasco, which we think there's others that are underrated.
Donnie Brasco's a great movie.
That are underrated, but The Godfather I think lives up to all of it.
I think Donnie Brasco is a better movie than Goodfellas and Casino. And those are good movies. Don't get me wrong. I really like those. But
Donnie Brasco's one of the more underrated mob movies.
Because we've talked about this. The reason that movie works for me is Al Pacino plays a loser.
I know.
You don't get to see him play a loser
so
very
random.
Often. And Emily gets her whole forget about it thing going on. Courtney Cox is cleaning up her and her friend's stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That sounds like a bad gig. I know that she's probably doing it for the bit.
Yeah, it was like an Instagram Reels, like TikTok thing. But
I mean, people that live in Los Angeles typically don't walk Hollywood Boulevard.
Agreed.
It's a very touristy thing
to
do.
It is so touristy. It is so filthy. I was talking to my brother there.
Gross.
It is awful.
Does he
half-ass dressed like Spider-Man?
I swear to you, I was going to say, if you want to get depressed, go look at the Spider-Man impersonator on Hollywood Boulevard.
It's like Times Square, but in Los Angeles.
When your brother walked away, was he like, yeah, I'm good. Never coming back to...
You only have to see that once. Yeah. You never have to see that again. I mean, I get filthy stars all over the place. I mean, I'll go when I get mine. That's when I'll go. I'll go when I get mine.
I think you just got to pony up, right? Yeah. I think that's how it works. You just got to kind of buy it.
I want the Mason and Ireland star. Ireland's got all the money. He won't do it.
There you go. You should have taken your brother to Musso and Frank. Get a martini.
Musso and Frank is fantastic.
That's like old school.
That's
like
old school delicious.
Oldest restaurant in L.A.
Hard to get a reservation.
You
got to
show up early.
Yeah.
So they start to line up on Hollywood Boulevard. You get in the queue, and that first seating, I think, is kind of first come, first serve.
Tom Snyder and I used to go there for meals, and he would always get the steak tartare. Mm. The steak tartare.
So
very old school.
So good.
John says you have all the money.
No!
Which one of you guys are lying to each other?
I'm not doing well.
They actually have a merged account.
yes, a joint account.
I got to tell you a quick story here,
yep.
And we'll start a little super crosstalk. All right, real quick,
yes.
Before we get to Emily putting together a diss track
That's
about
you. I've not heard it, but okay, I'm excited.
Yes. So she put together some
excited.
Of you. I get a call yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving right underneath where we park, right?
Yes.
I'm pulling out. My phone rings, and it's my oldest son, Bob. And he goes, are you listening? And I'm like, no, I literally just got into the car. He goes, the funniest thing I've ever heard just took place. And I'm like, what happened? He goes, I'm listening to Mason in Ireland. And I stopped right there. I'm saying, wait, you listen? He goes,
thank you, Bobby.
He's all in.
Oh,
so he's
nice.
Got a new job where he's in the car a lot. So yeah. He's driving around so he gets to listen to the radio
cool.
far more than he used to. He thinks you guys are awesome. So I will give you guys
nice.
That. He's
hey,
100%
Bobby.
In. He thought. The gag that Jorge and Bergman pulled on yesterday.
It was genius.
With ChatGPT.
What they do.
It was genius.
I wasn't here.
Oh, my gosh.
I just heard it this morning for the first time. I didn't know what it was either.
Go ahead.
So they start reading, for my birthday, this really nice sort of thing. You know,
tribute to you.
All
yeah.
the
it
good
was beautiful.
You've done and the people you've impacted and blah, yeah. blah, blah.
It's
and
really
I'm like,
good.
Wow, I'm really touched. And then Bergman says, that was ChatGPT.
It is going to change everything. Yeah. If you have to do a presentation, now people say, well, it's going to make kids cheat in school.
They already are.
Right. And now, but what about in business? If you have a presentation in business,
you
there
know,
is yeah. no cheating.
Recently,
just
I
go
had to
chat
write a
GPT.
Letter of recommendation. I'm like,
perfect.
I don't exactly know. It's letter of recommendation. Pops right out of ChatGPT. Used it word for word. It's awesome.
The best part, I watched it this morning.
The way
the
they were reading
yeah,
it, too. The way they were reading it was
ESPN
so heartfelt.
Los Angeles.
And the way they, so Berg would read a stanza or two, and then Jorge would read one. They're kind of going back and forth. It's clearly they've rehearsed this a little
Their
bit.
Their voices were cracking
very
a little
nice,
bit.
Very nice,
right.
very sincere. And I'm watching you
yep.
on the other feed, and I you could watch your face because at the beginning you could tell, okay, they're going to zing me.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to hit me with this. And about halfway through, the look on your face went,
oh,
this is really
kind of nice.
Nice.
Really and then
nice.
It was ChatGPT.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
Really one of the best bits in a long time. Bergman, Jorge pulled it out. It's hilarious.
All right, John, you ready?
Yeah.
This is Emily Hebel with her diss track.
Okay.
What?
What are you doing?
You did some bad things, but I'm the worst of them.
I tried to break it and I broke the wall.
Sometimes I wonder which one will be your last lie.
No, you know what this is? This is another instance. Morales hates our show and he
nope,
likes your
that's
show.
Not.
I don't start it, but I can tell you how it ends.
I think that, John, you just fired the first shot in a long-lasting war.
A long-lasting war.
I will wait 7 years if I have to.
They say looks can kill, and I might try.
Who is this singer?
Taylor
we want
Swift.
To make sure that John gets what's coming to him,
mm-hmm.
and we want it to be as humiliating and as public as possible.
Always Taylor Swift, by the way.
Even.
Yeah, always.
It wasn't that you were angry. It wasn't that you were terribly surprised.
No, it was shocked.
It was, what the hell is happening right now?
So on the weekends, I don't dress for friends. Lately, I've been dressing for revenge.
I kind of want to take it back.
You want to?
Yeah.
So that's the end.
Right?
Oh,
that's again. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that's
that.
Good.
Way to
By
go,
the way,
man.
Emily, did you hear us talking the other day about how the reviews for her show are, like, incredible. She apparently does 44 songs.
Almost
3
all,
hours
yeah.
and 15 minutes.
Springsteen-esque. By yeah. the way, my birthday present from Juan, tickets to see Springsteen. Great
there you
tickets
go.
To
oh,
see
nice.
Springsteen in December at the Forum.
Do you like Springsteen?
I love Springsteen. Are you kidding me? This will be the fourth time I've seen him.
Huh.
I've always
you not
heard
not
Springsteen.
That. Are What's you not? That?
No, I've,
no,
wait,
I
no, I've seen him 10 times.
You just didn't know
I
he
was here 1999 opening night at Staples Center. It was Springsteen.
Yeah, the best thing, I got to see Springsteen on Broadway, and
oh.
a friend of mine hooked me up with really good tickets.
How was that?
Well, if you watch, it's on Netflix. If you watch it on Netflix, it's the exact show that I saw. But being in the building is incredible because there's only like, you know.
Well, he sings and he talks and he tells
right.
stories and all
tells,
the, that.
And his wife deal. Comes out, and it was weird. I had, on that night, I had in front of me, Ariana Huffington and her daughter. Behind me, Sean Penn.
No kidding.
And like over to the right, Aaron Sorkin.
That's a heavy
hitter. All night I was there.
I saw him in Jersey
oh,
when
wow.
they kicked off a tour. And I'm telling you, people in Jersey just, they are crazy
and
for Springsteen. The energy was unbelievable that night. It was at the Meadowlands.
And epically long concerts.
He did 4 hours plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
Nick starts right when he says he's going to start. So if he says he's starting at 7:30, there's none of this Madonna come on an hour later stuff. He starts right at 7:30 and he just goes till midnight.
So my this little background. So Juan hates Springsteen.
Okay.
And he always says if he had to go to a Springsteen concert, he would slit his wrists. So I have two presents, two gifts from Juan. I open the first one. It's a razor blade. I'm like, what is a razor blade? Why
he's
would he give me
setting
blade?
It up.
Second part of the gift, Springsteen tickets. I'm like, oh, yeah, you said you'd slit your wrist if you had to go see Springsteen.
So could you take someone else if you wanted?
No, that's part of the gift. Okay. He's going to be there 4.5 hours.
Speaking of plays / musicals, John.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard, we mentioned this in the dump. So I know that Mean Girls is being turned into a musical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're going to put it on Paramount Plus, the streaming platform.
Okay.
We've got Jenna Fischer from The Office as Katie Heron's mother.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, in the
Anna Gasteyer role.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you've got John Hamm is in it as the PE / sex ed coach.
The Tim Meadows role.
No, he was the principal, right?
Tim Meadows is the principal. Yeah, and Tim Meadows is coming back.
So Tim Meadows is reprising his role in that. I don't know who played the guy in the movie.
I don't either.
Is this, are you in? Because I'm a Mean
Girls
person.
I like Mean Girls.
Yeah, I like Mean Girls. I like when they're feeding her the bars that are making
Swedish
heavier when she thinks she's
weight
getting.
Gainer bars.
the weight
Gretchen,
gainer bars are
stop
awesome.
Trying to make fetch happen.
That's never going to happen.
So as the resident musical expert here, is Mean Girls fertile territory for a musical?
Yeah, I'm in. I'll go see it. But you never know. I mean, you never know.
By the way, Mean Girls is a Broadway musical.
Right.
Right. And they're just turning that. I've seen Mean Girls. It's pretty
good.
The
musical?
I saw the musical.
So, wait, you're talking about they're making a movie musical of Mean Girls?
They're going to, yeah, it's going
to
be on
Paramount
Plus.
They're going to turn the musical into a movie.
Yes.
Yeah, the musical I thought was pretty
good. Is Lindsay Lohan involved?
Well, we were talking about that.
Yeah,
there's speculation that she might be.
Yeah, may or may not be.
Now, did you guys see where Lindsay Lohan and a handful of other celebrities are being sued because they did ads for crypto tell
secret
people
ads
that they were being paid?
Yes.
I didn't even know that was illegal.
Endorsing it without, you have to at least say, I'm endorsing this or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Kim Kardashian says buy Dogecoin and she doesn't reveal that that was a sponsored post, she's actually messing with people's finances and stuff.
Was it I disagree
brothers,
with that,
right?
Because
Jake Paul
I'm not required to listen to Kim Kardashian.
You're not, but if you're a Kim Kardashian, the fact that you're not disclosing that somebody's giving you a whole bunch of money to say go buy Bitcoin is
but how's
sneaky.
That different from like what
buy
we
Doritos.
Do? No, what we do. Yeah, I mean, like I'm in 20 minutes, I'm going to do an ad for Toyota.
But we know that's a paid endorsement.
Yeah, we know.
How do we know? I don't say it.
Well. I think the assumption is somebody's paying you
a commercial break, right?
Somebody has to pay you to say,
but it is implied.
They do.
It is implied, John. That if
I is it
what is the crypto
Bitcoin,
that she
Dogecoin. I think Dogecoin.
Like
yeah.
If Kim Kardashian comes on and says buy this Bitcoin or this this cryptocurrency,
it's worth 9 cents.
It's implied in the same way that you reading an ad for Toyota is implied. Me reading an ad for Chevy is implied that we get compensated to do
correct
these things. Like
so
I don't know what the difference.
Yeah, what,
I'm with
what,
you.
What the law broken here was what?
Not disclosing that that was a sponsored post. To.
But we don't disclose that we're sponsored. I mean, it's weird. I mean, nobody ads don't come out and say this is an ad.
But it's an ad.
Right.
But so is that.
It
but
is an
so
ad.
It's so is what Kim Kardashian does.
It's an well, no, cuz she has sponsored posts all day. I mean, I don't even know if she posts for real
or if she posts herself
or if it's everything that's posted somebody paid her to post, but it says literally on it sponsored post.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny cuz when we use us as an example, you're going into a commercial break or it's some type of sponsorship or whatever the case is. I see what you're trying to say, but I think there's a lot of people who are huge fans of that individual that listen to kind of every word that these people say.
Then they empty
and
their bank
not,
account
I know.
On something that's worth 8 cents and you've messed with people's
them?
Lives.
I don't have to listen to Tom Brady or Giselle or Kim Kardashian or Lil Wayne or any of these dudes.
Lil Wayne you have to listen to.
Great Lil Wayne. Shout out for John Ireland.
There you go.
I love that.
Is that the last Laker game?
All right, you guys do the rest of Super Crosstalk.
Why?
Got,
what are you doing?
I got places to be, man.
Okay, good.
You have a bigger name on the other line?
Doubleheader.
Michael Rogers has baseball that I can maybe get to the start of if I leave right
now. All right,
now.
Okay. Good. Do
enjoy.
That. That's important.
All right, is it wrong if we do this again?
What?
Most important game of the year? Is that wrong?
Yeah.
No, because, I mean, they all are.
Every game is. This one, though,
this one's
is really the most. They have the identical records. Tonight is really
well,
the
wait,
most
I can
important
take it,
game
I,
of the year.
I can take it a step past that. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th.
Identical
all
records.
All identical records. Yep. And this one tonight is worth two.
Right. And then you
because
like-
it's the tiebreaker. And if you meet in the play-in and you finish with the same record, this will determine where the play-in game is.
Or it, you
and
could
by
lose
the, way,
the play-in spot altogether.
I consider myself lucky. I do not. I never complain about where I go.
I have a feeling I know where
I
this is
I do not want to go back to Oklahoma City under any condition. I just, if you had to rank cities where we go, it's in the bottom three. I'm done with Oklahoma. Don't like the hotel.
Wasn't
don't
Michael
like going
saying
in there.
He likes going there because of the hotel?
No, he doesn't like that hotel.
Oh, not the Thunder?
No. No. Trust me when I say this. No one likes that hotel except somebody that might get the suites.
Okay, so they have, if they beat the Thunder tonight, they got the tiebreaker. They don't have the tiebreaker on the Mavs. They
correct.
Don't have the tiebreaker on the Clippers, but they have the tiebreaker on the Warriors and the Pelicans.
Correct.
So think about how confusing that is. Not yeah. confusing, but I'm saying that think about how you could have the exact
the
same record.
Is, we're in this weird spot where, you know, Oklahoma City just played two games against the Clippers, and now here comes New Orleans
yeah.
to play the Clippers tomorrow night. For the third game in a row, we got to root hard for the Clippers.
Yeah.
I don't know if New Orleans has been playing really well.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Clippers can beat them without Paul George, but we're rooting for the Clippers. And we also root for the Warriors to lose because we have mm-hmm. the tiebreaker over them. So it's weird who you root for. There's a guy, I wish I could remember who it is, that every day he puts out a tweet. If you're a Laker fan, here's you.
Trevor Lane.
Oh, does Trevor Lane do that?
Yeah. Here's who you should root for.
And he always puts at the end Celtics, whoever they're playing, which has nothing to do with the
Lakers.
No,
it's just random.
But he just puts it random.
Well, there will probably, before the end of the year, come up a situation where we're actually rooting for the Celtics.
I think we had one a while back, but it's hard to keep track on a day-to-day basis. I mean,
every one of these games.
The standings are so fluid at this point.
By the way, did the D'Lo thing kind of come out of nowhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, he's questionable for tonight.
And he's questionable, which means he could play. But
yeah.
Here's the thing I thought about when I saw that. Man, I miss Kobe. There was just never, ever. I wonder what this must be like for Rob Pelinka, who's in charge of the Lakers roster, watching all these guys questionable, doubtful, out, when his best friend and his biggest client, Kobe, just never did that. Just, you know, the guy could have one arm and he'd play. I saw him play a game left-handed once because he hurt his right hand.
Well, doesn't that fly in the face of your take on Anthony Davis?
If
Anthony Davis had Kobe in him, he'd drag himself out onto the court and play and not
back
sit out the Houston game.
Right, mm-hmm. But it's the times are different. There were no medical staffs when Kobe played. There was one trainer. Now you've got analytics guys and medical guys, and you know, and they're telling Anthony Davis not to play back-to-backs and Kawhi Leonard not to play back-to-backs. So you either have to kind of be an a-hole and say, I don't care what the medical staff
says.
Be
an a-hole.
Well, I was going to say.
F the medical staff, I'm playing, which is what Kobe would have done. But we're, Mace, as you always point out, we're in a different time. Like, Michael's coming in later.
Yeah.
Michael will say.
Kobe up.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. well, Michael would say, we used to play in every game, even if we had four games in 5 days in five different cities.
And they were traveling by covered wagon.
Right. And he said, and then Mace, your response to them is times are
times
different.
Times are different.
That,
they
that,
are
that,
different.
You got to listen to the medical staff.
Yeah.
Do you?
How much
I mean,
do you think,
I don't know.
Mace, how much do you think if a player says, cool, thank you, medical staff. I appreciate your guys' opinion and everything else.
Yep.
There's 10 games left, 15 games. No, this is a critical one. I'm playing tonight. How much do you think the player can influence whether they're playing or they're not?
Well,
in today's NBA,
I think that if LeBron were to say, "I'm playing," period. Medical staff, I hear your opinion. Mm-hmm. I take your opinion, but I am going to play. I believe
I know
LeBron
my body,
James would play.
I'm playing. Yeah.
But we don't get that from
I don't
AD.
Know. And there may be only 10 guys in the league that have that clout. Mm. You know, that say I'm playing. Screw you, medical staff. And so...
Just generally, screw you, medical staff.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a middle finger to your medical staff if they tell you you shouldn't play and you say, I don't care what you think, I'm playing.
Does the medical staff have access to the standings and the
they
schedule?
They do.
Yeah.
By the way, if they... I would assume that, and I think we've heard Darvin Ham say this before, you can't let that schedule determine whether you're going to do something different from the medical staff, where other people would say, no, that's exactly why you let that schedule and the standings
right.
determine what you're going to do. But we'll see how it all plays
so,
out.
So, Slee, you know what today is?
Tell me today.
It Friday.
That's right. A lot of screwing around on
Wait,
the show
do they
today.
Call? Do they call?
No.
Do you also
no.
take calls?
Call? Are Bergman you kidding? Have you met Greg Bergman?
But didn't you guys say one day on Fridays you guys were going to start?
No, I did it when Mason. Because, see, Mason and Bergman both hate calls.
I love calls. 877-710-ESPN.
He doesn't love
What's
calls.
Your take?
Well, every time I say Mason.
I say up. Ireland says down. 877-710-ESPN.
So Mason's attitude about this is he feels he's not doing his job if he allows calls
Correct.
On the air.
Mm. I do.
So he feels that he's being paid to talk, and he doesn't want anybody taking his time.
Yeah. So if so right now, if you open it up, will you just let it ring and say, well, appreciate
Bergman
everybody
will.
Calling?
No, no.
Yeah,
Bergman
will let it ring. He will not even pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Tom and Pomona has no chance.
But when Mason's gone, then I can it's
open
one against it's one against one, so I can pull rank, and Bergman will allow an open phones Friday.
All right, Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next.